So
how much is that?
And
welcome to the podcast Editor Mastermind, the show by editors for editors. I'm Jennifer Longworth with Bourbon Barrel Podcasting. And next to me is
Harry Caulfield Eric of Yeah Yeah Podcasting.
And not appearing today are the boys, Daniel Abendroth of Roth Media and Brian Entsminger of Top Tier Audio. And we have a special guest with us today, familiar to many, Jessica Kupperman, She Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
And we're glad to have you. I know you are a very busy lady going lots of different places, juggling lots of different things.
Yes, yes. Some would call that psychosis. Yes.
Well, it's conference season. I just came back from a conference, went to another conference. People are saying, are you going to this one and that one and the other one? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to She Podcast though. And so I wanted to have you on to talk a little bit about how as editors, we can make the most of going to all these conferences, when how to prioritize our time, our money, which ones to go to, which ones not to go to. I don't know where to go with this. And Carrie had some good questions too. So
I was thinking about speaking at conferences specifically, and I was wondering if there were any like topics or concepts that you would love for editors like us to pitch to you that you think that conferences are missing.
Yes, especially for our conference, we don't get a lot of how to do stuff. Like we get, it's more, a lot of it, what we are pitched is conceptual, how to grow in today's climate, or, you know, how to use TikTok to boost your whatever. But it's never like a specifically technical skill. And I mean, obviously you don't want to teach us how to be editors the way that you edit. But I think there are many, many, many podcasters, including myself, that still do not understand if you are going to bootstrap it and do it yourself. Like if I'm in GarageBand, for example, like what are the dials and the levers and the, what am I changing when I touch those buttons? Like even with my own Scarlett on Focusrite, like John and I did it years ago. You know, I touched the levels and he told me which things to touch, and I haven't touched it in like 5 years. So I don't understand audio in that way. And I think a lot of people want it to sound as good as possible and have no idea. They just figure if I can hear myself, that's all we know and it's fine. So that is definitely, I think, would be helpful, is like how to get the most out of your sound. Or, I mean, the microphone ladies, Shure and Heil, they often come and talk about mics and what a condenser is and what a dynamic is. But technique is something I don't know if they go over. And so you might know specific technique. Like I've been told by my own editor that I have terrible technique because
yes.
I get excited and I go like this. And then I go like this. And yeah, I mean, like, yes, I'm aware. And I apologize because, especially for your ears, I'm sure they're very sensitive to it. I'm sorry. Because you're profesh and, you know, and I'm fidgety. So for someone like me, I'd love to go to a session that's just like, you know, your technique is important. Here's what you're doing wrong type thing. Where to stay, you know, Elsie stands every time. And like, is that important? Should I be sitting up differently? Is it important not to eat things? I mean, I don't think she likes when I do my nails when we're recording, but it helps me listen better. So I try to do that. It's quiet. So that's a good one too. Just things that you guys are editors, like what are the most annoying things that we do? Even that would be an amazing session. Here are all the most annoying habits our clients have.
Don't wear jewelry while editing.
Yeah, no, those should have audio examples for that session.
Right. I mean, but it's a little dishy, but that is what I think would bring people like crazy. It's like, here's what annoys us the most as editors on the job. I would definitely run to hear that, you know, so that I knew. Because it's just John complaining. I'm usually like, he'll, you know, but if it's a peer, not that he's not my peer, but, you know, when it's somebody that like, I don't want to hurt their ears. I know, you know, sometimes you guys listen. I don't want it to be a terrible experience.
Yeah, no. And it makes your show like sound better and more professional. And it gives you, especially when we're talking about mic technique, it'll give you more confidence when you are behind the microphone because you know how to actually use the tool, you know, in front of you instead of like, oh, you know, trying to be all and being awkward. Although True. You, Jessica, are, I mean, you're just a natural.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I don't have very good audio. I mean, I grew up as a video person. Like my dad was a video. He has a master's in video production and we had the first video camera and I was taught very early, like how to edit in the camera and frame by frame and things like that. So audio, it's kind of like learning piano after guitar or guitar after piano. It kind of eludes me. So yeah, I know that my technique isn't the worst, but you know, the other thing would be even like, you know, when I first started podcasting, I learned I had a speech impediment that I didn't, because I was editing my own stuff. And apparently I start every sentence with like my lip smack together. And it's like one straight line. I had no idea that I ever did it. So maybe tricks on how to, you know, here's what you can do while you're recording to make your editing less painful.
Yeah.
You know, or even like, you know, when I was editing, I learned what the looked like. Mm-hmm. So that I could take them all out without having to listen to the whole thing. So maybe tricks like that, like what your so's and your no's look like, or like, you know, I've been taught a trick where if you screw up, rather than be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, you just stop and make a line so that your editor knows to go in and chop whatever's coming next. Those kinds of things I think most podcasters don't know. Most podcasters don't know much except the topic they're about to speak about.
And we hope they know that.
We've made, you know, and she podcasts specifically, but like the world itself has made it very easy to create content and put it out ourselves. You ladies have the pleasure of being hired to edit some of these items. And it's not as if there's like a prerequisite or a course teaching you how to be good or even remotely, I don't know. Once again, there's a word that I can't think of because I have too much in my head. Adequate even at this job. So it's almost always for me though, a how to do something as far as teaching. You guys pitch that? What do you pitch when you do pitch? What are you pitching?
Real generic stuff because I have imposter syndrome.
Oh, Jen.
although for She Podcast Live this year, I did pitch a sound, like how to use sound kind of creatively session.
Are you doing it?
I think so.
I thought you were about to tell me you're not speaking and I'm like, that is not right.
No, I am. It's just, okay. Emails me every once in a while. It's like, I need this. I'm like, oh, sorry.
But you know, yours is probably one of the few, you know, like a lot of what I try to pick stuff that's really tactical because it's very few and far between. And I know that it's what people want to walk away with is not, I mean, yes, you want to be inspired and yes, you want to be excited and enthusiastic and networking, but it's also helpful to go home more knowledgeable, better at what you do, you know? I would like that, certainly. And I think it's rare at every conference.
Do you get many editors pitching at all? Or
I usually ask them. So the first year, lots of people pitched, all different types of people. And it was really hard. I felt like it was like something like 400 applications. Oh, wow. It was crazy. And then the second year was in the middle of the pandemic. So it was like 200 applications. But Elsie and I had decided that second year that maybe we would just choose. And then it became kind of a combination. And then this year was sort of the same thing. We tried to just choose. Some people applied, but for the most part, we just chose. And I think that's because the first year when we got 400 is a lot to wade through. And I don't know that it's, I mean, the other conferences do that where they have a call for speakers and then they have to wade through it all. And I mean, Dan once told me that PM gets like 800 applications. Like, how are you supposed to choose? You know, like, so we wanted to make sure that the people who were really loved the first year got to go again. And people who we really wanted the first year that didn't get to go, got to go in the first place. But no, we actually don't get too many editors, lots of producers and lots of podcasters with other skills besides podcasting, social media, systems and processes, writing a book, getting sponsorship. You know, they don't necessarily have the audio editing skills. We just require that they're podcasters and that they're podcaster and that the podcasts are current.
I'm just wondering, like,
mostly current.
how much work do we need to do to get editors to, you know,
to apply more or to come?
To apply more, both. But I think apply more. I would love to see more technical sessions for sure.
I don't think we know how to pitch ourselves, maybe. And my problem is, I know how to do it.
What's your imposter stuff about?
Yeah.
I need to know. Why aren't you pitching yourself more? And why are you pitching generic stuff? Tell me.
Because I know how to do it, but I'm not sure I know how to tell other people how to do it. But it's like, okay, just how do I translate? Well, I don't even know how some of these knobs and buttons work. I can't tell you how they work. I just know that I hit Control Z and it goes away, and Control Y and it comes back. And then if I hit the G key, it does something else. And
so is the speaking for the purpose of getting more clients? Or is it for being just more of a thought leader in the field? Or is it because you're doing something you're not, you know, like
thought
maybe
leadership.
You don't want to actually, you know. Okay,
I've never
okay.
gotten a client out of a speaking engagement.
Okay.
Maybe it's because I'm speaking about the wrong things. I get my people from word of mouth and networking and and stuff like that. But maybe it's because I speak about the wrong things.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm certainly not saying that. I'm saying the imposter thing is what I was really trying to get at. Like, what is it that you're pitching that isn't getting, I mean, like, what did you speak on the last couple of times? Because I saw you were having your picture taken at PodFest, I think, right? What were you speaking on that
PodFest,
day?
I spoke about 10 tips for starting a podcast. So a beginner track, real basic stuff. But, you know, here, do these things to get started.
Mostly technical, or was it,
was it
like
a mix? I had a few here, buy this, hook it up like that. And like the most common question, the first question that came up in my Q&A was, what is an interface? What's the difference between an interface and a mixer? And I'm like, I really didn't want to go there.
Yeah, I don't know the difference.
This one does this and that one does that. I don't know.
But that's not a 45-minute session.
That's not
either,
a 45
right?
minute like, session. No. Yeah. And then this last one at Evolutions, I spoke about cover art.
Interesting. Are you a graphic artist?
I am not. And I made that clear at the beginning. But there's some principles that you need to go through anyway.
Absolutely.
Yes. Principles of design apply in audio the same way they apply in visual mediums. So there are like framing stories and stuff. Yeah.
Well, my hook was you can't judge a book by its cover, but really we all do. And people are going to judge your show based on your cover art. So you better represent your show in your cover art and start with knowing your show. Know about your show before you design your cover art.
What is it about your editing services that distinguishes you from every other editor?
Me?
You.
Jessica's been the mastermind in the show tonight.
I know, right? Well, I target Central Kentucky people, and that is the Kentucky charm or the Kentucky girl that I want to appeal to people, which is why I'm mostly marketing myself locally and not as much nationally, and to be the, you know, thought leader in Lexington, Kentucky when it comes to podcasting. I'm the one you ask the questions to.
So your next pitch to speak will be how to build thought leadership in a local community with a strong brand.
Okay, I gotta write that down.
I love that.
That is exactly what you're good at. The bourbon barrel thing, bringing bourbon everywhere you go, making sure that you're always on brand, that you always bring your brand back to top of mind. That is your genius right there. That's why I asked you the question. I mean, not because I didn't already know, but because when you said it, that I instantly knew like that is exactly what you can teach people. How to make yourself well-known with a strong brand in really any market.
Right.
Like you could teach that to anywhere for anyone. It's like how to make yourself stand out and known as a thought leader in any market is your next pitch, I think. And let me know if you want to change. I don't know what you're speaking on, or but if you want to change it for us, that's fine too. But but I mean,
it's a good topic.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, it's not even really for the sake of getting clients, but just because that imposter shit will go away, I think, because this is the thing you are really good at.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can teach like tips for when you're first getting started, which is probably why you're just like, when you do it, You know, because you're not really that passionate about it, nor is it a particularly specific skill that you yourself have.
Right.
So like, Carrie, what about you? Like, what's your distinguishing like feature?
I don't want any business. No.
That is very unique. Very unique, in fact.
Because full disclosure, I was a huge Anthony Bourdain fan.
Oh, yeah.
And so he has this one quote that where he's talking about essentially like working in Hollywood, right? And how he walks into every meeting like he just doesn't care. Like, you know, don't waste my time. I could go to brunch. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's been my attitude.
So how to win clients by not giving a shit is an excellent title.
There you go.
For a speech, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Or, you know, or how Anthony Bourdain can make you a better podcaster.
Ooh,
I like that.
Many editors themselves have this same problem a lot where, you know, they know what makes them different from everyone else, but they're also trying to balance what does everyone want to learn? What does everyone want to hear? And that takes precedence over you yourself and what you yourself are best at. And if that is nonchalance, then so be it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, be the master of nonchalance. Like, who cares?
No, I think it has worked for me. Right.
I have no doubt. That is an excellent strategy. It is. I mean, on some level, I do that too, where whenever I'm really nervous for something, I try really hard to like personalize at first, like either by not in this case, but either by talking about the weather or something I was dealing with before I came on, just so that I'm a human first and not a pitch deck first, you know?
Yeah.
So that is really good advice, I think, not if you don't care, then you are confident enough to not, first of all, you won't do what doesn't work for you.
Yes.
Which is something women especially fall prey to in meetings where they just agree to whatever because they're happy to have gotten the meeting. So, you know, forcing yourself to be nonchalant is actually good. I mean, especially even like for a spaz like me, like I don't exactly exude nonchalance. Right? Like I'm pretty high energy. So, I mean, like learning how to do that or like whatever mind tricks you may have for doing that is even better. And wouldn't that be helpful when you record is to be relaxed and nonchalant and not overly eager? He wants to know if they're open or closed for SPL 23. What friend, Steve, are you asking for? I need to know what friend. But anyway, even that is good advice for podcasting is being nonchalant. Because what happens when you're all stressed and tensed up? You sound like, you know, someone has shoved something recently up where it doesn't belong. And you can hear that. You can hear that, right?
Yeah.
And no editor can fix that ever.
No. And I've tried.
Yes, exactly. Wouldn't it be great if you could just make them sound like smooth and relaxed, like smooth jazz?
Yeah. Right?
But no.
The Barry White version. Hit the Barry White button. And, you know.
Yeah. So I don't know that 4,000, we do not have 4,000 spots for speaking this time around. But and actually, because we postponed a month before the last, you know, like it was like September and we postponed for, you know, so that grid was done. That speaker grid was signed, sealed and delivered. So we have very few spots, if any, from people who are still on the fence about whether or not they can come. We might have a couple. You can have them email me, Jess at shepodcast.com. The other day on the show, I said Pinstatalk because I was like signing off and trying to give people our handle. And I was like, that's not a channel, is it? No, that's wrong. But yeah, so if you, jess@shepodcast.com, ask them to email me and see if we have a spot. But really, I can give you guys a code. Make sure that they come, because that's one of your other questions is how do you take advantage of, you know, conferences when you go? And one of the best ways that I used to get clients when I was in graphic and web design is by, well, in Facebook groups especially, I would just like stalk the groups to see what questions I could answer and then answer. Almost always someone would say, can I follow up with you in your DM? I didn't have to offer. In fact, if you don't offer, it's even more appealing.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can do at a conference is just to be like, oh, you know what you do is there's a little knob and, well, if you want, I'll do a screenshot somewhere and I'll send it to you. Just give me your email. And you're not asking for a thing except how you can help them. Guarantee you'll get a client from that. Almost guarantee. I can't.
As if you're a speaker, you do this in your.
I'm saying if you're not a speaker, oh. I want those 4,000 people to come to this event. Please come to this event because I really do think it's beneficial for more editors to be there. There are so hundreds of women there who are doing it themselves and probably don't want to.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Many people tell me the editing is the bane of their existence.
And there's so many who don't know that we're out there.
I don't even know who all is out there. It's true. What 4,000 people? There's 4,000 editors out there?
There's more than...
That's a big group of people considering I can only name like six off the top of my head. Women, I mean, you know, like... Yeah. Even men, I only know four. I mean, I don't know that many. Make yourselves known. Editors also are probably more on the introvert spectrum than most podcasters. Like, podcasters are majority introverted, but the editors especially are like, talk to me and I'll kill you t-shirt, right? But, and I know that, but when you're with your own kind, it's easier. Get yourself a gaggle to go with you. And split up, go to different sessions, tell each other what you're, you know, what was there, who you helped, who needs help, carry each other's business cards around, meet together at the party so you don't feel alone, so that you feel like you're, I mean, you can have a good time and be wildly introverted if you're with like a gaggle of your same, of your, you know, the same bird is there with you. You know, we're all different kinds of birds, but like the woman podcast editor bird is a specific bird, is all I'm saying. And like, you know, and be there for each other. It's not as if you, maybe you don't have anything to learn technical wise, but you may learn how to market yourself better with being introverted. You may learn how to start an email marketing newsletter or something that you're just like, you know, I should be marketing this, but I just don't feel like talking to people. Like, there are easy ways to do this that don't involve one-on-one interaction. I'll give you an example. Like, this is a weird example, but kind of illustrates my point. So like years ago, I spoke at Social Media Marketing World. I want to say 2015. So like the first podcast movement had already happened. Maybe there was a Podfest that I had been to. And then it was the Social Media Marketing World, which is enormous. And people of all different jobs and all different places, like, you know, there's marketing managers for like big companies there and nonprofits there. And then there's also people who just focus on Facebook and Instagram and ads, whatever. So anyway, and I didn't know very many people, but I walked into the expo hall. There was an expo hall that lined like a, it was kind of like a circle. And in the middle were tables where you could like sit and chat with your friends. And like, there was one table of podcasters. I wouldn't say that I was best friends with all of them, but they were the only people I knew from the other conferences. And it was like Paul, what's his name, and Jared Easley, and I think Todd Cochran was, it was mostly dudes, because of course, it was like, you know, just a couple people that I had met like maybe once or twice, but it was almost like we were looking out for each other. Like we all sat together, slight strangers maybe, or maybe I was the only one that was a stranger. I don't know. We all sat together, we would ask each other, where are you going? What are you doing now? Do you want to meet back? Or what are you doing for dinner? Like it didn't matter that we weren't like there together. You are just there together because you are of the same bird is my point, I think. So like it kind of, first of all, it bonded me with those guys a little bit, but then also it was nice to feel like less alone in a sea of strangers. And podcasters, unlike most content creators, really do that for each other.
They will do
it for you, whether you're at a conference full of podcasters or if you're at a podcast full of mom creators. I mean, even that, I went to Mom 2.0, same thing. Podcasters, they came right up to me. How are you doing? I know you. They were with other podcasters. Like, we stick together and have each other's back, even if we're strangers. So it's really nice, actually. And I mean, I think editors may resist because they're quiet, but this is a place full of people who are, you know, curmudgeon-y and quiet. So you fit right in, believe it or not. I mean, am I wrong? You've been.
No, absolutely. It's like you get adopted by the family.
Yes, exactly.
Like not getting adopted, not an option. I mean,
no, you cannot opt in. You are in. You're just in. And it's kind of nice because it makes you, I mean, what was Tiffany? I was on an Instagram live with Tiffany Kane earlier, who says she's an introvert, but I highly doubt it. You know, that she was like wildly introverted, but for whatever reason at our conference, At most conferences, you get overwhelmed. You go to your room because you need to decompress.
Right.
But you don't need to do that as much as She Podcasts Live, because decompressing in the lobby is equally as refreshing as decompressing in your room alone. And I think that is also very rare, that you can just sit and relax and whoever is sitting next to you will be a delight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to run away to feel better, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah, I totally agree. I like come home relaxed from She Podcasts. So.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. I hope so.
Well, and you have the introverted, extroverted party. So you play, you know, to both sides of the...
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, I am both sides. Well, and even if it weren't introvert, extrovert, it's like, do you want small conversation or do you want to dance your pants off? And I like having a choice.
But yeah. Sometimes I want to do both.
Yeah. And you can do both and not have to be at a sports bar with a very loud band or a beer tasting or something like that. Like, I mean, actually, I was going to post in the group, you know, because we don't have a specific party lined up for the middle night. The first night's the opening party and the Wednesday night is the awards. But we're not sure what we're doing Tuesday. So I was going to say slumber party, introvert, extrovert party, or maybe some other party that I haven't thought of yet. But those are the two we've done before that people seem to really like. And I'd like to know, like, you know, what everyone would rather do. Although the introvert, extrovert seems to be the most popular.
I think that's. That would be the one I would choose.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
And I'm the ambivert, so I go back and forth and be like, okay, I'm ready to dance. Yeah. Okay, now I'm not. Okay,
yeah,
now I am.
I did both. Last time it was lovely. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it was great.
Maybe calling it that is, you know, permission for everyone there to be like, okay, I can actually have fun there instead of having to guess and avoiding it.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's like you take the pressure off.
Yeah. All right. Maybe you're right. I think I'll do that again then. Maybe I don't even have to ask.
You've asked us. This is what we say.
Yeah. Who else are you going to ask, right?
Yeah. I mean, you guys are perfect to ask because, I mean, the slumber party was fun, but it was actually specifically themed for the presenters that we had. I don't have themed presenters this time. So that's probably the answer. Thank you, ladies. That's delightful.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Okay, Steve says, editors should attend. I attended both. They were amazing. The conversations outside of the session were a blast. That's nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Brian has a question.
Oh, yeah. Wondering what Jess wishes service-minded editors and producers would come prepared to do. Interesting. What do I wish editors would be prepared to do on the fly without being asked or if called upon? That's a very serious question.
I would be interested in the answers to both.
Okay. What would I like you to be ready to do? I mean, it's not as if I'm going to have emergency audio that needs to be taken care of.
Oh, no.
I mean,
all of my clients do while I'm away, but yeah, that's not the same thing.
It seems to be a pretty common, you know, editor conference experience.
Is that true?
Yeah.
What? People are like, can you edit this?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I need this, like, you know, tonight.
Not at the conference. The people who aren't there need it while we are
there. Clients, yeah.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Sometimes the clients are there, but yeah.
Right. I mean, I think what I wish for all editors, but specifically the ones that want to attend my conference, is that they are empowered to make themselves known for what they do while they're there. If I could bestow a skill, it would be to empower every single one to go there confidently and hand their business card out and help people with their questions and introduce themselves to people, just so that when that person is like, do you know, is asked, which we all inevitably are, do you know an editor? We will be able to pull a card out of our pocket of someone who is either new or has client space or is excited to do it or wants more work. Like, because I do know, like, I could definitely name the two of you, but I don't know if you're free. I don't know, you know, I don't know how busy you are.
No,
I don't know
business.
Your life.
Right. Kentucky only.
Yeah.
See? So, I mean, like, I would recommend you and it would be a bust. So, I mean, that's what I wish. I wish that editors weren't as shy as they were about being like, I'm an editor and these are the types of clients that I help. As far as how to best serve the community while you're there, I mean, Steve came up with the first year this like amazing booth where it was like an ask an editor booth.
Yes.
And I don't think I ever saw a minute where you guys weren't packed.
Yeah,
that's true.
It was
you were busy the whole time.
Yeah.
That is an amazing service. And if you can get conferences to give you guys a booth so that they can have the ask an editor feature, I think it is amazingly helpful for attendees, both experienced and not. I mean, I'm sure you guys probably got, can you listen to this and tell me what's, you know, I mean, like, what the hell's wrong with this recording? And I mean, I don't necessarily wish that on you, but.
Well, when I did ask an editor, Podfest, I guess it was. I mean, I had to have my laptop there to show people things too. And they're like, do you use Adobe Audition? I use Adobe Audition. Can you show me how to do whatever?
Yeah.
So I want to shift the conversation a little bit to an unexpected. Sponsorships. Ooh. As an editor, and like, okay, so I, at full disclosure, I'm sponsoring a water cooler at She Podcast Live this year. What's the best way for me to make the most out of my water cooler sponsorship?
Add bourbon. I'm just kidding. I mean, I see when people sponsor food and drink, the best thing I see is if they can brand like the cups, the utensils, have a sleeve or something, make sure that they know that you are the one that sponsored it. Put a sign on the thing, you know, or something around the thing that you're sponsoring. So you can say, you know, courtesy of Bourbon Barrel and your website, or definitely, like I said, like bring the cups if you want, or the napkins or something with your logo on it, and something fun too. Like if you, I mean, you're, you know, I don't know if, you know, I wouldn't say mascot, but you know what I mean? Like if you have a fun tagline or honk if you love bourbon, I don't know, something like that. So like for my bar mitzvah, we've personalized the napkins, and we had 5 sayings we were allowed to do, and we couldn't think of the 5th one. So my dad wrote honk if you love Jessica, and all night long, honking at me all night long.
Oh, that's funny.
But it is like that's what made me think of that, because like if you do honk if you love bourbon, like, I mean, yeah, you might be honked at, Jennifer, but they will remember that, you know, it's a memorable thing. So
okay.
That's what made me think of it.
Well, I've just thrown sponsorship dollars at other events that I didn't care about as much. And I walked away going, well, that was a waste of money. So I don't want to feel like that. I mean, I like your conference and I believe in what you guys do too. So it's not a waste of money, but I don't want to feel like, you know.
How did it feel when you did a giveaway? Was that helpful that time? Did you have to leave before we actually did the giveaway?
No, I was there. I was there. We gave away bourbon for those who were wondering. And I ended up being on one of the winners' podcasts.
Okay, that's nice. I mean, I don't know if it was worth what you spent on the sponsorship, but yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes when people, like when they sponsor the VIP lounge, they set up a little like booth in there so they can talk about their brand. You can't really do that with a water cooler, because I mean, it would like suck up your whole life for the whole week if you did that. But definitely the branding. I mean, the purpose is for brand recognition, right?
Yeah.
So I would put your brand all over it if you can. And maybe even like, can you put something, maybe not on a table, but if it is a water cooler, like stickers.
Yeah. I mean, with a hotel, lettuce, just stickers all over their thing.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm not saying stick them. Oh, I'm saying leave a stack so that people can take it as they, you know, because a napkin is kind of like a waste of paper, but a sticker, a tattoo.
Oh, yeah.
Something that they can grab and put on themselves, you know, or stick on something. That way your brand is everywhere.
Cool. I like it.
Yeah. Let me know if it works, because I'd like to know, like, you know, if you can maximize that kind of sponsorship and actually how you would quantify its success. If you see your stickers everywhere, I guess you've been successful, right? Like, you know, oh, cat ears is a nice idea.
That's Carrie's brand. That's not my brand.
That's Carrie's brand, yeah.
Yeah.
But Carrie, that wouldn't hurt my feelings either if you stuck a pair of cat ears in everyone's. I don't know if they're expensive, but.
Oh, I don't know. They're probably not expensive. I mean, it's probably like one of the things that are like, you know, 10 cents a thing.
Yeah. Can you get a bunch at like Oriental Trading and like
bring them in? I'll have to look.
Yeah, you should look. Let me know. I'll put them in there for you. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
About how many attendees are you hoping for this?
It will definitely be more than 400 and possibly under 6. But it's hard to know at this, you know, it's 3 months left and everyone likes to buy their ticket like June 1st. So it's hard to know. And actually, if you are watching this and you are coming and you haven't bought your ticket, please just buy it. It will not hurt you. to do it early. If you can't come, we'll refund it to you, but just give us an idea. It would be so nice to know. Oh, anyway, that's all I'm saying.
No, that's wild.
It's hard to plan when it's right. And I mean, most people do it at the end because they're like, I'm not sure what I'll be doing. I don't know. But if you do know, just bite the bullet. Just please do it. It would be so helpful. But yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, the first year, I wish I could predict it, right? But the first year was 800 and the second year was 350. So I'm hoping in between there, right? Like it'll already be more than 350. We already have that. But like whether it's 500, 600, 700, I'm not sure yet.
You know, I feel like there are more than 350 people there.
At the last one?
Uh-huh. It felt bigger.
It did feel like that. But I also know that like what Jen was saying, like there were sessions that were emptier too, though. Where it was like 10 people, five
like
people,
ours.
Or even the big room, even like the main ballroom, there were some people that didn't have an audience. So I don't want that. That's why you want,
right? Yeah,
you don't want standing room only, but you want enough people for a speaker to feel like they're speaking to someone. That's a nice feeling.
It is a nice feeling.
It is a nice feeling.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Steve. You put the registration link in the, thank you. That's very thoughtful. Thank you.
Yeah. And we will have that in the show notes for people.
Yeah.
And I think I have a little coupon code.
Yes, probably do. Yeah.
Join me.
Something like that. Yeah. So it was in last.
You want me to look? I can look episode. If you want.
We have it on the last episode because I talked about it. So it's in the last episode's show notes. Yeah. So we have check it for this notes. One. Yeah.
Yeah. So what else? What else can I tell you? You editors.
I know, right?
Delightful editors.
I think you make a good point about editors having to kind of, you have to get out there and talk, you know, we have to talk about what we do with people, but it's also a lot of fun to do it in small doses at a conference.
Yes. We just try. I'm just keep in mind, we try to make it really comfortable, even for people who don't like to talk about themselves or don't like to leave the house. Like, I believe you will still feel comfortable at this conference and you can make it your home for a week and live with your friends for a week and do the things and it'll be relaxed and not hurried and not intense and not competitive. And, you know, those things we try to not encourage.
Okay. So now that we're getting towards the end, we typically do the pod dex question of the week with Brian. Do you have pod dex, Carrie? Or do you want the random question I just pulled up? Oh, good. You do have them.
Ooh, what I is do. That?
Okay. So Jessica, since you're our guest, pick a number between 1 and 6.
3. I should have said 4. I'm just kidding. It's okay.
Depends on which side she pulls this is, from.
I know.
This is a fun one. Well, I have 3 happen to be in the middle. So
I like the middle.
Yeah. Which words or phrases do you most overuse?
So I have noticed that I start a lot. Like I often pull recordings into Descript and the amount of so's that I say is appalling. I will start a lot of questions with so. I don't do like as much as I used to. And I try not to but if I'm thinking, sometimes it's unavoidable. That's like the thinking noise. The so is me. Every time I'm about to explain something, I go, so. And also when I'm about to ask a question, it starts with so. That's the one that I overuse. What about you guys? What do you overuse?
I know what my clients overuse more than me, you know?
What?
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Ugh.
Right?
Are they women?
The one is a woman, right?
So you should teach her if you feel sassy. I took a feminism course in college called Gender and Linguistics.
Oh.
And one of the things I learned is that women, more than men, will end a sentence with, right? Don't you think? What do you think? Mm-hmm. What do you know? Like, we're always looking for that validation. Men don't do that.
Does that make sense?
I'm not saying
what I do.
Exactly. Oh.
Does that make sense?
I do. Does that make sense too? Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's because I think the person's stupid. That's different. And I'm not sure that they'll understand what I'm saying. Does that make sense? No, I'm kidding. But right is one is like almost a way of diminishing.
Yeah.
Your opinion by making sure it's okay with everyone. So
right. Making sure.
Women have to be careful about
when
that.
I had my own radio show for a while, my big one was, wow, after everybody ever said anything. I don't think I do that, you know, in normal conversation, But when listening back, you know, as podcasters and listen to yourself, and be like, wow.
I actually was interviewed by someone who every time they would ask me a question and I would answer, they would go, amazing. I didn't know how to respond to that. Like, thank you. It was a weird response. I mean, wow is kind of similar, right? Because you're validating what the other person's saying, but without actually saying anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's what he's see. Exactly. Wow is your courtesy
my
response.
Courtesy response.
Yeah.
But it was really annoying to me listening back to.
I feel like when we talk about podcasting in terms of a natural conversation, like you don't have time to like follow up on everything your guest says, and you have to just let things stand as they are. Mm-hmm. So I think that like amazing or wow or that, you know, I'm like awesome. I think
7 times in a row is weird. Care.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but mix that's their discomfort in moving on. Like without acknowledging you and making sure you felt heard, right?
Yeah, one of my clients now says, thanks for that.
Wait, they say thanks for that?
Yeah, they're like, thank you for that after the response of every.
Thank you for that.
Thank you for that.
I mean, people are just awkward.
It's very awkward sounding, but thank you for that. Moving on to the next question.
We're just naturally silly and awkward. And I think we show it all the time. Everything we do and say is awkward. It's the whole trick of life is to move through it without seeming as awkward as you actually are. That's my life's mission. You know, like if I can accomplish that in any small form, I feel that I've lived my life to the
full. That is excellent life advice. You know, come here for the business, but we drop you with the life advice. So
it is hard work to be less awkward, I think.
Okay, Carrie, what's your word?
Awesome is one of them. And I'm a big so person as really? Well. Yeah. Yeah.
Non-Americans make fun of awesome.
That's what Patrick says.
You know, I will say this, and it's just my observation. Like my older children do not say awesome. Like 20 somethings do. It's because we grew up in the 80s that we heard tubular awesome. Like that we say it.
Yeah.
But they don't say
awesome
it.
Sauce.
They say sweet, you know? They'll go sweet. Sweet.
Yeah. Did you say yeet?
I said yeet.
No, I said sweet.
I know, but I said yeet because my one kid says yeet all the time.
He does? Or
she used to anyway.
She says yeet.
Yeah, yeet.
They do come up with some colorful things, don't they? Whenever I would ask my daughter to do something, she would say, get off my neck. And I thought that was weird. I'm like, who's on your neck? What are you talking about? Why does it have to be on not on your back, but your neck? That seems so much more uncomfortable. We were used to like get off your back. Get off my neck is like, she implied I was choking her, it felt like. Oh, that slaps. Yes, I know that one.
Which is good, right? That slaps.
And isn't there, if you look good in something, aren't you like sucked in or what's it called when your outfit looks good? You're snatched.
Snatched, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
That's a weird one. I do like yeet, though. That yeet. One's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeet's pretty fun. Yeah, I'd use, so is good. You say awesome?
Yeah, I say awesome, too.
Yeah.
I say it, but it's not an overused one.
And I can trace it, like, I know exactly where I got that word from, like, because I didn't say it when I was younger, because it was belly girl talk, and we weren't allowed to do that in my house.
Really? Your mom, she...
No, my dad...
They banned Valley Girl talk.
Yeah.
Oh,
that is fascinating.
Yeah. Which is why I also say like a lot at times.
Like totally.
Yeah. So this is all my rebellion. But no, I worked with a must have been a millennial. I don't know. I didn't know. Anyway, she was younger than I was. It was like 30 and she was like just graduated college. Well, I guess not that much younger. But she used to say awesome. Like that was her response to everything. And I just absorbed it.
Awesome.
Yeah, like you can mean it sarcastically, you can mean it genuinely, you can mean it just to shut people up and not have any feeling behind it. It's pretty versatile.
You can use it like the F word and
that's true. This awesome cake I'm having. Yes.
Can we just all agree never to use deep dive again?
You don't like the deep dive?
We're going to dive right in now.
What's with the deep dive? Why don't you like it? Does it feel like pressure?
It's...
What is it?
No, because, okay, A, it's hardly ever anybody does a deep dive. And nobody can do a deep dive in a 45-minute podcast episode. It's just fair not going to happen. Okay.
Yeah. So then what do you can... So this is your sticking point then. So then what is a deep dive? Hours and hours? A novel? What has to happen for you to agree it's a deep dive? That's what I want to know.
I don't know, but...
Never say it. She's like, just never say it. Trust
just don't
me.
Say it.
Never say it, right?
Yeah. Never say it. Yeah.
Yeah. I need like a degree afterwards. I need that podcast to come
instead of a deep dive. We're going to do a shallow dip.
I've literally never. Is that a thing?
No, I don't think it is. It's from Patrick.
Okay. He's making it up. Okay.
Isn't that nice sometimes to have a shallow dip into a topic? Like, you don't want to hang out there like for a whole
I can't see myself
time.
Getting real excited about a shallow dip, though. Like, I see myself opting out of something like that. Not that I'm excited about deep dives either. I think I want something in the middle. Let's just like a.
What would be in the
a
middle?
Pleasant swim. How about that?
A pleasant like swim. And today, on today's podcast, we're going to take a pleasant swim through our podcast topic.
Be more of an afternoon frolic person.
Oh, I'm about a frolic. I could do a frolic. That I would opt into. Definitely.
All right. Well.
An afternoon frolic. All right,
our time has drawn nigh.
Nigh.
If you want to learn more about our show or become a guest, you can go to podcasteditormastermind.com and click on Be a Guest. Our guest today has been the amazing Jessica Kufferman from She Podcasts.
Thank you so much for having me. I've had the best time. I want to come here every Thursday and do it again, if you don't mind. Awesome. This has been really fun.
2 weeks from now. Same time.
Yeah. If I can stay up this late again, we've all won a prize.
The latest I've stayed up all week.
Yeah, same. But I loved it. It's been so great. Thank you. And thank you for having me on. Really, it's meant so much to me. And I'm happy to be able to talk to the conference with you guys because you've both been and it's nice hearing your experiences, which I haven't really gotten a chance to really hear before from you. So thank you.
Thank you.
I loved it.
Thank you. Yes, we loved having you on.
And I'm Jennifer Longworth with Bourbon Barrel Podcasting. You can find me at bourbonbarrelpodcasting.com or across socials, Bourbon Barrel Podcasting.
And I'm Carrie Caulfield Eric. You can find me at yayapodcasting.com for now. Sorry, my nose is running.
Oops.
Not here with us at this very moment is Brian Ensminger of toptieraudio.com and Daniel Abendroth of rothmedia.audio. Thanks again to Jessica Kupferman of She Podcasts. And you can find her and all the information about the conference at shepodcast.com as well as their podcast. So
yes.
Yeah, you should definitely be listening to that especially if you enjoyed this episode.
Yes, you should. Peace out, home slice. That's a good one too, right?
How much is that?
Damn.